Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 260, Get Out, which is the name of the movie.
Please don't leave.
I'm not just ordering everyone out. I'm going to do the entire podcast by myself.
See you later. Yeah. I left two seconds ago.
And how are you doing that?
I'm in my car.
That's crazy.
Technology.
Yeah. Your Bluetooth is unreal. Yeah.
Phone voicing.
Yeah. So I guess before we get sidetracked, as we are wont to do, we should go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Hello, Orlandez here.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Considering the movie of the week, thank you for coming to a white guy's house, Orlandez. That was
I had some very questionable things here. Luckily, this is my third one on this. This is not my first visit. So the first one was great. The first time I did it was for Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
So that was cool.
You and Donnie Fandango.
Yeah. Good old Donnie from The Point.
Yeah, you're if they're going to kill me, they're really playing the long con.
Yeah. At least they're going to do the job first. These will be like my final words. So. It'll be worth it.
Make them good, my man.
Recorded for posterity.
That's right.
I do have to ask you about the black maid that you had. No, I'm just kidding. Her nose just started bleeding out of nowhere when I shook her hand. I was like, what's this all about?
Why are you acting so weird, Jordan?
All I said was yo to her. I mean, hello.
So I guess we will just get straight to the synopsis.
Yeah. So I guess we should lead off by saying this flick has been teased for a while. It's from the mind of Jordan Peele from Key and Peele. So what you may not know about Jordan Peele is he's a huge horror nerd. Like, he loves horror movies.
That I did not know.
Yeah, he's a big fan, and not of like the,
it shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not of like the torture porn, but there's a podcast called Shockwaves, where he does an interview with them, and it is like he waxes poetically about Rosemary's Baby.
He waxes what?
Poetic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, that sounds raunchy. This man's a pervert.
Of like the.
Classics.
The tension and the suspense side of horror.
And the satirical side.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This dude, talk about knocking a ball out of the park
first debut.
Yeah. Well, he wrote Keanu.
But he didn't direct.
But he didn't direct it. And this is written and directed by him. And he
now you're like, damn, he should have directed it.
I mean, maybe.
The man might have had an Oscar, right?
Yeah, I've said before.
I don't think there's any world where he would have gotten an Oscar for Keanu. But
no, this one
might have been a little better, though.
I
liked it, but I thought it was good, but not great. I think it could have been like
it was right there at the cusp of
the youngsters liked it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. It's kids today.
I think if they label this as a thriller / suspense movie, he's going to get nominated for best screenplay. He would get nominated for possibly best director. I think. I don't think the cast would have ever been nominated. I mean, the dude.
Everybody's solid
in
this.
The main
guy. Yeah. He's fantastic.
So
he's from here, too, I think, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know.
I want to say.
He was in the second episode of Black Mirror, the original Black Mirror. There's an episode where society
Like the American Idol parody one?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the main guy in that.
Okay. Well, that guy was British, wasn't he?
I think so.
I mean, I thought all those actors were British.
I think the whole show's British. Yeah. So I guess he has to be. And usually when a guy, when actors try to hide their accent, it's not, it's noticeable. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at Batman, Christian Bale, they have like a different tone to their voice. Mm-hmm. This dude is like, you would have no idea. Like it's, you can't tell that he's putting on an American accent. So our flick opens up with our main character, Chris, who is getting ready to go meet his girlfriend, Rose. He's going to go meet her family for the first time, played by Catherine Keener and Bradley Whitford, who I like. I forgot how much I like Bradley Whitford. And obviously, I don't like him in this movie because you're not supposed to.
Well, you might want to walk that back.
It's interesting because he's always, both of them have played characters that have been slightly likable.
I always felt like Catherine Keener is always that likable character.
Is always. Oh. No, I think they've both played.
When was she unlikable?
A lot.
Is that right?
Being John Malkovich.
Oh. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they both have played characters that have been not like out and out villains.
Sure.
Right. But not out and out like heroes.
Right.
So and they've always kind of been like right there where you're like, so some people are like, oh, I like that guy. And some people are like, no.
Bradley Whitford, I always felt
it's
like
a good place to cast.
Yeah.
I thought Bradley Whitford always walks that line of being like, obviously like in Billy Madison, where he's like the comedic swarmy asshole.
Yeah.
And then
he was the man who would be Chandler Bing.
He was almost
really?
Chandler
he
Bing.
He was this close to being it. Chandler Bing.
Wow.
And like
that changes that entire show.
I don't know. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, boy, that had to be a rough call. Like, I could totally see him as Chandler.
Yeah. Yeah.
What year did that start? 96? 96?
94, I think.
94?
Yeah. That was on for about 10 years.
So maybe. I guess I think of Bradley Whitford on West Wing.
Or like, Studio 60.
Or Studio 60. But I guess, I don't know, I guess Chandler has just kind of come synonymous with Matthew Perry at this point.
But I could totally see him play Chandler.
All right.
And maybe Matthew Perry would have remembered his life from the years of 1994 to 2000.
Don't be sorry.
Whenever he tries to remember and he can't, he just goes to his checking account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did do something.
Another one from TBS.
Do you remember like when he would be like season to season and you're like, what the hell happened to Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
He would be gaunt one season and then a little bit not gaunt next season. Stuff. And then, So... And I will say, Allison Jennings, I don't like girls. I think that show doesn't.
Oh, is that
well,
true?
Well, all right. The TV
you heard
show.
You here first.
Allison Williams?
Joe does not like girls. Joe does not like girls.
The TV show.
You heard it here first.
No.
Too late.
Yeah.
Kevin, you need to isolate that.
No, because
what you can't see over this is me high-fiving Joe.
But yeah,
well,
like,
also from Peter Pan Live. Let's not forget.
Oh.
No, I can't forget. Like that show, I gave that show a whole season. And it was not for me.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant to be for me.
I think Ellie and I gave it
a whole 5 minutes.
Okay,
I like it, but it's just such a train wreck.
That's the problem with it.
I watch it the same reason I watch Teen Mom.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that like everybody
watched that first season.
Yeah. Like, no, we had a lot of people raving about it, and then we watched it, and then it was like, I don't know if we could, do we use this as a gauge now? So when they say they like something, we won't like it, so we can avoid it.
Actually, I do that with
also the kids today.
I do that with Brian Spath.
Really?
Like if Brian Spath says like, it was okay. And I was like, that means it's really good.
I'm gonna love it.
So they have this really good chemistry on scene immediately. Like he's kind of worried about it. Like obviously he's going to meet her white parents.
She has not mentioned that
he is her first black boyfriend. And he's just like, look, like whatever. Like he's being super chill about it. But at the same time, the way the guy is playing the character, you can definitely tell he's like, man, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I do like the line where she's like, he's going to say that he would have voted for Obama for a third term. Like, he's just like a normal, nerdy
white dad.
Yeah. But they have a fun
banter, you know, back and forth.
It seems,
it's this movie. I will say this movie is a slow burn up until a certain point, and then it's just like, oh, I'm just going to pour kerosene on it. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, until they drive up the driveway.
Not even, like, even then, that's where it starts. Yeah. We're just like...
Because it starts almost as a comedy of manners.
It does. Yes,
you know?
Yeah, it's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
That is an exact... Yeah.
Like, that whole thing...
It meets the Stepford Wife.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And because it's, you know, when they get to the house, it's like this... It's
clean cut.
But it's like this cornucopia of microaggressions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, man.
Nobody's doing anything patently rude for the, well, until dinner.
Not even before dinner. When he goes, so they, okay, so they're driving up. They get pulled over.
Oh, okay.
Over.
I don't consider. That's the cop. That's the family.
Like they get to the, so they have an interaction with the cop. And this is, again, Rose's character where she's just like, I need to, the cop, they pull him over. She hits a deer on the way up because they're driving through the woods. Cop shows up and he's like, I need your ID. And she's like, okay. And gives it to me. She's like, I need his ID. And she was like, why? And he was like, well, I just need his ID. And she's like, no, you don't. He wasn't driving. So you get that interaction where the cop is being racist. And
in hindsight, isn't it interesting why her reasoning, why she would not want the cop to see
I will say, you need to see this movie twice.
Yeah.
Because like, when you get to the end and then you rewatch it, you're like, oh, all of this is making, like, he's not, that's what I'm saying is like why this would have probably been nominated for a best screenplay is because he's laying it out for you the whole time and you don't see it until the last possible second.
It's like when you it's one of those scripts, and I love when movies can do this, when you a key piece of information is revealed and everything that came before it now is cast in a new light.
Correct.
It completely changes all the interactions that you've been watching that you've interpreted one way.
Yeah, right. And there's no tells that they're giving you information.
Yeah.
You're just thinking, oh, it's a racist cop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
right.
Yeah. And she's standing up for her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, that's what
and
that is.
And he even at one, like, after it's done, he's like, oh, that was so hot.
Yeah, right. And he's like, oh, that was pretty hot.
Yeah.
So they, well, and it's funny because it's also, they use it as a catalyst to make you like her.
Yes.
When it's the exact opposite.
I thought, so obviously, we'll get to it. I thought she wasn't in.
Until the last possible second.
I was like, oh, no. We'll get into why
I thought they say it's pretty.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty that
shift,
I agree.
That
I was
shift
like,
was just like,
and that made me respect her as an actress. And I was like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
But yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought, oh, well, they've been doing the same thing to her.
Right.
And using her as bait.
Right. Yep. And making her, anyway.
Well,
we'll get to that. Yeah. So they get to the house and they meet the parents, and of course they're taking him around.
Maybe we should just address where the movie goes. That way we can talk about both things
we're not
as we
spoiling it for ourselves. But
yeah, I guess that's true.
But
so
what we do.
The premise of this movie is the grandfather of Rose has devised a way to replace older white people's brains.
Well, I think anybody's.
Well, it took a while to get to. So I mean, at first though, you know, it was like indentured servitude.
Yeah, I thought, which is
what I initially was like.
That's where I thought.
Oh,
they,
wow, they're
hypnotizing them,
brainwashed,
and using them as labor.
Yes,
but that's not what they're doing.
Right, no. And then you're like, wait, what?
Right,
yeah, like because it does like it has to build towards that. Because it's like, and the friend who's like talking about, you know, watch
friend
out,
is
you're
great.
Used as a sex slave.
That, that dude was hilarious.
Yeah, and he's like spot on about everything.
Well, he's us. Well, I guess he's not us. He's the
everyman.
He's the normal person.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, you know, at first, that's where they lead you down
right.
the direction, and
they go, oh no, why.
And it's just these layers of reveals that happen. I mean, so when you do really find out, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So they're putting the consciousness,
their own consciousness, whatever,
into genetically superior bodies.
And it makes that whole scene just like, well, that explains why everybody was like,
oh, you mean as far
show
as
me
like,
your golf swing.
There's a whole scene where
they're shopping.
Where she's, so there's a big party coming up. And Chris is being introduced to all of these upper white people. Yes. And like the one guy is like, oh, I used to play golf. I played golf with Tiger. And of course, like that interaction when you see it the first time is like, well, of course, he's going to bring up the one black golfer to the black guy. And the guy.
Yeah, it felt like they were deliberately going out of their way to ingratiate themselves.
Right.
So it wasn't even so much in most of their offensive interactions. I didn't take it so much as even that they were trying to be mean or cruel.
No, but they were trying too hard.
Yeah, they were trying too hard to not
like,
be.
It was pretty blatant.
Right.
To show,
trying
like, look how open-minded I am.
Yeah, they were trying to not be racist by saying, you know, you know, welcome black friend.
Right. I have a black friend too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
do
it was
you
like,
know him?
It was like,
and that, I mean, I will, being the only black person in the room, sure. I will say that is a pretty obvious thing as well. Yeah. I have gotten that.
You
before.
See,
yes.
And
yes.
You're like, ugh.
Quite so, a bit, yes.
What I will say also about this movie is if you take the actor that plays Chris and make him a white guy, this movie still works on a different level.
Right.
When you add him as a black character, it adds a whole yeah. new level yeah. to how to this script.
I yeah. think what's so fascinating about the way this movie operates, no pun intended, is that they're doing this horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah.
But it's oddly not motivated by hate. Hear me out. I mean, because
it's motivated by racism.
It's motivated by racism, but like
genetic.
But it's like
makeup.
Genetic
that.
Makeup. I was like, yes,
yeah, like, but
yes,
they want to be black people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what yes. I mean? And so you get the story where the dad is giving him the tour of the house,
right?
And you get the story about the Jesse Owens story about how what you realize is like it's an origin story.
Yes.
It's like
right.
this guy lost to Jesse Owens, and I look at it and I go, oh, his dad or his grandfather was probably agreeing with Hitler.
Yes,
right.
And well, he says that he did,
and the Jesse Owens beats him, and the lesson he takes from that isn't. Wasn't
that Hitler was wrong?
Wasn't that Hitler was wrong? It's that Hitler was right, but he was wrong about who was better.
Right.
And
so correct. I need to be that.
So I need to become that.
Correct.
And so like, oh, it's just so brilliant.
It's so
well,
smart.
Well, it even says like, there's that throwaway line when he says, you know, they talk about how great Jesse Owens was, and then he says his dad almost got over it.
Yeah. Almost got
yeah.
over it. Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah.
yeah. So there, I will say that there's another scene. So he's taken, like I said, take him through the house, and he's talking about deer. And he was like, oh, man, like, I hate deer. The only thing that's, you know, the only kind of good deer is a dead deer. And he's going on and on about the death of this deer. And you can tell the look on Chris's face, the main character, along with the rest of the audience, where I was like, he's not talking about deer.
Yeah.
That's not deer. That's not what we're talking about yeah. at all. But and then that I was just like, that was very thinly veiled, but you don't see the rest of it. Like, none of the other clues are so thin. You're like, well, I know exactly where we're going.
Right.
Although,
why would you know where we're going?
Exactly.
Right.
But I mean, see where we're going.
No,
yeah.
no, but well, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
They're
like
stealing their brains and putting them inside a black slate.
I can go yeah. home now.
Oh, that but, old story.
But I mean, like, it's not
again.
It's not just your typical racism story.
Right.
Where the guy, when he's going on and on about the deer, you're like, well, you're not talking about deer. I know you're not
Obviously.
Talking about. And I do like the thing where he avoids the basement. He was like, oh, we had that sealed up.
Yeah.
Sealed
black
up because
mold.
Black mold.
And it's black mold.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah, of course.
Knock,
he's just
knock.
Like, black mold. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, now I know you're a
yeah.
racist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again.
Why can't it be white mold?
That's right.
Yeah.
Is that
plus, if you have black
exactly.
mold, if you have black mold, you're not just like, oh, well, I guess I'll just
seal
the basement.
My basement.
Seal the basement
now.
You're like,
yeah,
no,
that's
you're
a
like,
done deal.
You get the black mold.
Get
it
out.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines. You ever see Zach and Miri?
Yeah.
The there's
yeah.
A, there's
oh,
a scene. In,
I know where
yeah.
you're going.
Can I get a coffee?
Black?
Can't you see I'm talking?
White?
Like, that's such a great line. I love that line so much. Craig Robinson kills that line.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, again, it's pretty chill at this point. Like, they, you know, they.
It seems like a normal, like, he's meeting the parents.
And
they're,
the parents
like,
are
the
being,
few,
like,
the few
overly
black,
nice.
The one or few black people that they've met, it's like, okay, this is how they're going to
yeah,
act. Kind of
right.
how she had, like, you know, told him before.
They're,
and she,
they're trying too hard, but at
they're
least
trying
they're trying.
They're trying.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
He and,
does,
and at
he
this
does,
point.
He does say the Obama thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And, like, at one point, like, isn't she on the phone or something, and he walks by her, and
yeah.
she just shrugs her hand, just like, I told you.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
He's this way.
But the entire time, he's also talking to his buddy. Who was just like, man, get out of
what
there.
Are you
like,
doing?
I can't yeah. believe you're up there and you're the yeah. only guy up there. And he was, you know. So the next, the mom, they have this little conversation where, like, he's kind of jittering a little bit. And the dad's like, you smoke? And he's like, yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
And also, they have to say Catherine Keener has this, like, teacup and spoon.
Man.
And yeah.
What a brilliant device that is.
Yeah. That does that become kind of
a thing.
A haunting.
A weapon.
Yeah. Exactly. It is a weapon.
It's
like,
a weapon.
There's no other way to describe it. So. He's, you know, he's kind of jittery, and he Bradley Whitford says, he's like, man, she can take care of that for you. Like, you won't. I used to smoke for years, and she put me on hypnosis,
yeah.
and I don't even feel it anymore. And the guy, like, the entire time, the guy's dialogue consists of, No, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm yeah. good. And he's yeah. not mean he's about trying, it. He's just trying.
He's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, it's cool. Just trying to just get, let's, you know.
So, and then, yeah. And then the Catherine Keener kind of drops the bomb where she's like, oh, you know, that party's tomorrow. And what's her name? What's the actress's name?
Allison Williams.
Allison yeah. Williams is just kind of like, oh.
Brian Williams' that daughter.
Brian Williams' yeah. daughter, yeah. Or that's is tomorrow.
She? He may have made it up.
He may have made that up, too.
Oh. Sorry, Brian.
He was just like, she's just like, oh, man, I forgot. And, of course, now he's like, man, there's more rich white people
yeah,
that are
more
coming
white
to this
people here.
Right? Like, this is awful.
2 days is going to be tough enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have already been introduced to Georgina and the grounds guy.
Yeah.
Groundskeeper
like,
Willie.
Yeah, groundskeeper Willie. They are like the Georgina interaction was just like what Stepford Wives is a great yeah. way to put
she,
it. Like
she
she's
like,
just flat effect. Just
she
yeah.
Like, yeah. She like glitched because like she's
no, not
pouring.
Yet. Oh, you're yeah, right.
Because she's pouring yeah. iced tea.
Yeah, that's right.
And like she just
she keeps pouring and then yeah.
And,
I don't, why does she
and
do
Catherine
that?
That's
Keener.
What I was
we
thinking
know.
About. I was wondering.
Like,
I'm sure
was
there's
the,
some underlying
it's because,
meaning.
It's because something's trying to get out.
Oh.
And
but I mean like usually there's a break. Like there's a catalyst to the
yes,
to the green.
Yeah,
like
just the flash.
Yeah.
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 I loved that scene.
Yeah.
The flash scene.
But something yeah, so some for some reason, yeah, she kinda like looks like she's having some you know, like
some kind of
an
like
aneurysm
boxer,
or something,
yeah.
yeah.
Like,
oh,
and Catherine Keener is like, well, why don't you, you know, why don't you
rest.
go
lay
down?
And she was like, okay,
yeah.
And like, it's very robotic and
yeah.
monotone. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There, it's off.
Now, also, I'll say too, at the very, very beginning,
I did. I,
was,
you're right. There
yeah.
was a scene. Go ahead.
There was
yeah.
a guy who was just
walking
down
yeah,
the street.
A guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I guess he's meeting.
Oh
up
yeah,
with
we're talking
friend.
About the very
Rose.
Opening.
Yeah.
He's meeting
and
he's like
her.
Looking for Wyndham.
Oh,
he's meeting,
oh, that's right.
He's meeting
that's right.
Rose.
He's meeting, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's
like
that
this,
whole
and
opening
this,
scene.
And this white car pulls up like kind of next to him, kind of creeping
yeah,
up near him.
Also,
yeah. and he's just
fantastic
like,
dialogue where he's like, nope.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah.
Not today.
Not
today. And he turns around. He goes the other way.
He's like, I'm not the one.
Yeah.
Not today.
Yeah. He's
and
just
he,
trying
yeah.
to like, we'll just walk somewhere
I thought,
else. Yeah,
I thought,
cool.
I thought that was
way.
Great.
Don't know why they named it One Street Lane and One Street Avenue and put them 10 streets apart.
I did. I like that scene a lot. But yeah, he's the everyman. He's all of us. And we're just like, no. But yeah, he ends up getting like a needle to his neck and gets thrown in the back of a car, and that's the last we see until we're introduced
for
to
them.
Chris and Rose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the party, you know, he kind of goes outside. He's freaked out a little bit. Like he's not comfortable. He can't really get any sleep. So he goes outside and he's you know starting to smoke a cigarette. And this is the scene in the trailer Ooh. Where the groundskeeper, like you can see him, and the way they shoot it, like they I feel like they shoot it in a way. Where if that was you on that lawn, like
it's,
he's far enough away where you're like what is
can't
that?
Make it out.
What is, what yeah. are you doing?
It looks yeah. almost like a deer or something.
It yeah. does, yeah. yeah. And he is like, finally they cut back to Chris and they cut back to the guy and he is just full sprint, like
yeah.
right at him. And then at the last possible second, he cuts like a running back,
yeah.
like off to the side.
90 degree yeah. solid.
Like
yeah.
his
like,
wind is still just like breezing by Chris. He's just
right,
like,
right. Yeah. So then Chris kind of turns around.
I also
around.
Love how he runs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which was
oh
well
yes.
yeah also yeah, yeah.
he's
right.
got it's, this it's, very like arm
well,
like
marathon
cut. Well right
or, and, it's, or and like old, a, an old runner
like
yeah.
an old timey runner
yeah.
yes
yeah.
yes it's a very brilliant
yeah
yeah
which you don't think about
no you just think he's why are you running so
yeah
weird?
Like
the,
who
well,
runs,
who
like,
runs
that?
Like that
and the moment
aside
I
from the Olympics
I yeah. took it as like it just made it extra creepy
yes, yes.
Yeah.
you know what I mean
yeah
so
yeah it looks like yeah it's very like weird form
a, yes.
right
and full
Very
bore
vintage.
Like coming at him you're like
what
is
going on
this for
and then Chris kind of turns around he looks up and he sees Georgina up in the I guess it's her room and she's messing with her hair but you can't really tell what she's doing like whether mm-hmm. she's primping herself or just you know like brushing her hair and then he kind of goes he's walking back he sees Catherine he walks back into the house and Catherine Keener is there
within the dark and then switches on a light.
This one got me a little bit like where she
was, I was just
like
oh you know smoking's bad for you right
like you walk
or no
in
no no
late.
No she asked her like do you smoke around my daughter
yeah
yeah
yeah, yeah. Like it's not and she, typical mom questions
well but she
like,
says like
intense.
She's my kid you know she's trying to be
she's my baby
and
blah blah
you know It's like, well, all right.
Yeah, okay. So
she's not shooting heroin.
I know. Like, I was like,
and she's like, do you do that in front, like her daughter? Like, it's like, maybe it's not like her daughter was like unaware that cigarettes existed, right, and he had somehow exposed her to them.
It's also like your daughter just had sex, like in your house. I think she knows what cigarettes are.
Yeah,
like it's not, you know. So
she also lives in the city.
Exactly. Did they ever say where they live? It's totally nondescript.
I mean, it's, you know, in the city, if the daughter goes out, there's still places. I mean, there's cigarettes out and about.
Cigarettes in the world.
In the world. Yeah. You know, I know that like a lot of cities have stopped, you know, allowing smoking in bars. But if her daughter actually is in existence and walking around the city, she's probably exposed to it. But whatever.
Correct.
Overprotective mom.
So she sits him down. So she kind of sits him down and she starts. He doesn't realize it at first.
Yeah.
And then, like, she's messing with the cup and she's dinging it and it's making this. He was just like.
Well, also, too, beforehand, when they're. When they just met and, like, she brings up the thing about the dinner that they had forgotten about, like, they're kind of getting a bit of his backstory.
Mm-hmm. And
like, what was the deal with your parents? And he's like, my dad, you know, wasn't really around. My mom died in a hit and run.
Right.
And
it's also. And when you watch it, they're making sure that there's nobody that can come looking for him.
Yeah.
They're vetting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They are. It was brilliant. Like, it's just, I cannot believe how smart this script is on a repeat viewing. Like, it's going to be a completely different movie when you watch it the second time.
Yeah. Like, I cannot already wait to buy this on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, I want to see it on Blu-ray because I know Jordan Peele is going to do a commentary track.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm a commentary nerd.
No, so am I.
So that's going to be awesome. Like, I want to hear what he has to say. So she starts doing her thing and starts asking him questions.
And she goes back to his mom again.
Right. All of a sudden, he starts revealing information that he's like, I don't think about it. I repress it. But now he's just, he's going into what happened to the day his mom died. And then she like clinks it and she's like, you know, like sleep or sink.
Drop to the floor.
Yeah, sink to the floor.
And like,
floor.
He just like.
And he starts to get out like, you know, I'm out.
He's like,
here.
I'm good. Oh, that's right. He starts to break out of it. And she was just like, dink.
Sink to the floor.
And he's gone. And then all of a sudden he like. It's the way they film it. Again, this is a little trippy where like they film it and like it's like a bot, like you're looking up, like your POV is up, like he's sinking and like the POV
into like a black abyss.
Yes.
Like he's literally floating.
And we find out what that is later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like you can see, it's like a TV screen with Catherine Keener on it and it's getting farther and farther away.
And she's still looking at you.
Yeah. And like her voice is getting more and more distorted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he wakes up. Like he wakes up in his room. In his clothes that he was wearing the night before.
Yeah.
And so Allison Williams is just kind of like, hey, what's going on? He was like, oh, man, it's like the weirdest dream, blah, blah. But like his phone.
His phone's
unplugged. So he plugs it back in. And then it's getting like now he's introduced to her brother who like ramps up the crazy.
Yeah.
But the way they play it is like the mom and dad and the sister are just like.
He's a wild one. He's a partier.
He's the crazy one. Yeah. He's the drunk. He's
the whole time.
He's the racist.
Dad isn't saying anything. He's just like,
Like he's the drunk. He's the racist because like he tries to, you know, hook him up in a chokehold and you know, Chris is just
he's
like,
asked about MMA and he refers to him as genetically superior,
genetically gifted or superior. Yeah. It's something like that.
Genetic makeup.
And like even Chris,
your genetic makeup, you would be great at this.
Even Chris is just like, what did you say? You know, like.
Yeah, Chris is like he.
And I felt like
it.
That was the first comment where you're just like, okay, that's not trying too hard.
That's there.
That's just being
That's
racist.
Yeah, that's just racist.
And the other two.
That's Jimmy the Greek.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is full bore. I was like, whoa,
even Rose is just like, all right, like take it easy.
Yeah.
So
and he's like, I'm just trying to have fun.
Yeah, I'm just trying to blah blah blah. And, you know,
he's partying. Younger party brother. Playing the role of party brother.
Yeah, oh boy. Mm. And then I'm trying to think. So then the party happens where we see, you know, the guy's like, I played golf with
Tiger. Parade of white people.
And then the one, like, I did like the one gal who's just like, Chris in this movie, he's a big boy. Like, he looks like, I mean, he's got some t- tone to him.
Yeah.
And like the one guy
is like, white is or black is
black,
in.
Black,
oh,
black,
yeah.
Is,
yeah,
you know, it's whatever is the new.
And everybody's, you
he
know.
Basically, like, feels on his, like.
No, that's the gal. The gal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's standing there next to Rose, and like, he's not flexing, but she's just like, oh my goodness.
Well, yeah, and there's a guy, and yeah, there's the older lady and her husband who's kind of very weak and feeble in a wheelchair on oxygen.
Right.
And she's like, really,
hey,
like going
how are
in
you
on,
doing?
On Chris, and you're like, all right, whoa,
yeah.
And even you know,
we get to
Rose
so,
is like, hey, we,
she's okay. Like, okay, see you later. And then we're introduced to what is this guy? The actor
Steven Root,
who I like that dude.
So good,
always good. Like yeah. I don't, you know, he's from Office Space. He was in
Milton.
Milton
does a voice on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
He's
yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that kind of like he gets lost in roles, so you're never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on Justified.
Looks like he's lost a lot of weight.
It did look
it
that way.
He
yeah.
was the station owner on News Radio.
Yeah. So oh, that's on. Right. Man, he was good on that show. That was a good show. Up until Hartman left or
died.
He died. He did die before
he died.
Left.
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
During that show. That's a shame.
And they just didn't rebound.
Who was the.
They replaced him with John Lovitz.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
I just didn't.
That was really like, wasn't even bad. It was just like this.
It was
this,
so morose.
This pall of sadness.
Yes,
just it was
almost like
fell
they,
over the
it
show.
Killed, it killed
and they
the
just
show.
Couldn't. They couldn't get it back.
Well, did Dave Foley stay? I feel like Dave Foley left too.
I feel like
him and Moyer Tierney both left.
I feel like that last season, maybe he only did half the episodes or something.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing, did like a John Travolta.
So I'm guessing this is after like The Critic and such, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
for sure.
And I think that's why they brought in Lovitz, because they were like, he's a friend of Phil Hartman's.
He's funny.
And
SNL
he's funny. He's,
he can play
got,
a different type of
He can
character.
Do a different type of this, and it will feel like
maybe his spirit is still
We've passed the torch and that it's okay, and it just they, never
that
really
was like when Michael J. Fox left Spin City.
But and although that lasted for...
Which I don't understand.
Three or four seasons.
I
it lasted
when,
quite a while
when
with
he
Charlie
left.
Sheen.
People love
I was
Charlie
like,
Sheen,
see
man.
Yeah.
It was not funny.
People love Charlie Sheen.
Charlie. Charlie.
He was like, I'll come on your show.
It was the Tiger Blood.
Out, if I can make out with Heather Locklear. And they were like, fine.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah, so...
They're like, it's how she got the role.
Yeah.
So the party.
The party, and then we see another black dude who's like... We see him from behind, and
he's
like,
in like a
Chris
wearing a
seersucker suit.
Yeah, he's wearing
like a patio hat or something.
Very, it was very interesting.
It was like he was cosplaying Torgo from Manos: The Hands of Fate.
Yeah, it was like, what is this guy? What?
Yeah, so he turns around, and Chris, like, immediately, Chris is like, kind of a taken back, where he's like, do I know you?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I don't think so. And he's talking in a very like proper.
No.
Yeah. Stepford Wives Again kind of thing. And Chris kind of puts out his hand for a fist bump. And the guy like just grabs his hand. Like
full palm.
Yeah. And Chris is just like,
that's weird.
All right.
But the guy's got tats.
He does. You can see him come through it.
Well,
he's got
he,
like,
you know, when he reaches to not fist bump, you're like, well, he's got.
Right. So they're in this big group and they're talking, and like Chris cannot shake the feeling that he knows this guy. So he's, you know, we've all done it. He's trying to like sneak a picture of this guy, and he accidentally forgets that his flash and the sound is on.
Ka-ching!
Yeah. And like immediately everything stops, like the whole party stops.
Yeah.
Oh, well, also kind of to pause real quick on that, Georgina. It turns out she's the one who did unplug the phone, because he goes to Rose.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
that's
he's
right.
just like, yeah,
like,
you know,
man,
like somebody tampered with my phone. And then she's just like, should I talk to my dad or something about it? And he's just like,
nah,
don't make a big deal out of it. It's whatever.
Again, like the entire
trouble.
He's trying to be super chill.
Yeah.
And then she comes in and she was like, I'd like to apologize for unplugging your cellular device.
And
and he was just like, nah, man, it's all good. Like, don't worry about it.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to rat or snitch on you or something. She's like, tattle tale.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
he's just like,
what does he say, though? He's just like, you know, like, I'm not used to being around this many white people or something.
And she's just like,
no,
yeah, just like, what the fuck is going on?
She's laughing,
she starts bleeding from her nose.
Yeah, she starts tearing up.
Yeah,
that lady was great too.
She was awesome. Like, she was fantastic. And it's also again when you realize what is happening or what has happened, you're like, man.
Yeah,
it's all there again. Yeah. Like it was kind of like a visit.
It was quite alien-like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Goodbye.
There's also this other layer of social commentary in that. So you see, I can't remember the running guy's name.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
The groundskeeper.
Yeah.
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 But anyway, like you see him chopping wood, and you see
and like no joke chopping
yeah.
wood.
Yeah. And then she and then Georgina's always waiting on people. And yeah. and you think that like initially
Walter, his name is Walter.
Okay. You yeah. think initially that they've like we said, they've forced them into servitude.
Right. Which I think that's what the movie
and
was.
They,
right.
well, yeah. absolutely. And is. Also to like to pause again, when introducing them and everything, the parents tell Chris that they were taking, they
taking
were like caretakers.
They were
of the
brought
grandparents.
Here to take
right.
care of their
parents.
Parent, of her,
yeah,
right. Bradley Whitford's
yeah,
parents.
They took
right.
such great but, care of the parents.
Right.
Right.
But what's interesting is that their roles aren't as servants.
Right.
They're doing the things that grandparents
do.
Yes.
do.
Correct.
Yes. It just happens to be servant-like.
When you look
which
at,
which is also an interesting commentary
right.
on the
on
role,
how you treat your grandparents.
Yes. On how you treat your parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
just thought
no,
that
no,
was,
but it is true. Like is you a, yeah. it's yeah. again, when you look at it, it looks like they have hypnotized these two black people into being
yeah,
their
sure.
servants.
Yes, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
In reality,
they're doing,
they're
what,
doing
they,
what they would
what
do.
They want to do.
Yeah. Right.
What the white people who've been yeah. placed inside them would want to do,
right.
which is dote on their family, pour their coffee, chop their wood,
yeah.
clean the house.
Till they take
it's
that
also,
picture.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's also like that scene in The Visit where the not grandpa, spoilers, not grandpa,
right.
is chucking those hail bales.
Yeah.
And like you and I both thought, we're like, man, those things are like 40 to 50 pounds
yeah.
of
hail bales.
And he's,
hail
and
bales
he's just like, meh, meh, like picking them up yeah. and just throwing them. We're like, eh, something ain't right.
Yes.
Like that ain't you know that ain't right.
That's not how that works.
Yeah. And not because you know he was super strong. Like that's
right.
what. And not like
right.
a superpower, but it was like he was freakishly strong.
Right.
So he takes the picture, and the dude, like he also starts to get a bloody nose, and he goes after Chris. He was like, "Get out of here! Run, run! Do whatever you have to do."
Yeah.
And Chris is just like, "Whoa!" So they take him away
in another room
and with Catherine Keener again, and he comes out and he's right back to who he was, the same dude.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an interaction between news radio guy
Stephen
yeah. Root
oh yeah
and
Chris
yeah. where he's just like, hey, you know, my name is Chris. He's like, oh, I know who you are. And he goes,
and
like,
he's blind.
He's an art, yeah, he's blind, but he's also an art dealer. And Chris is a, I guess we should say, Chris is
a photographer,
a very good,
up and coming
photographer. And he's like,
so he has a good eye.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen your work. Or like, I know of your work. Like, I'm the one who ran this art gallery that had your stuff there. And he was just like, oh, that's so great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And there's this interaction where you're just like, all right. So this guy seems completely normal.
I know. That's I love this. Yeah. That it's like, yeah, like you walk away from this thing thinking like, okay, so they're not all assholes.
Yeah.
Right.
Like this
like
dude
this guy,
one sane person
like
that
this guy
it.
Legitimately likes this guy for something that's not
right.
about his
race.
Blackness.
It's about like
it's
some,
about he just he's yeah. an artist and he bonds with him
that.
On that level.
Yeah. Correct.
And so it's like, yeah, you leave this thing going, okay, this guy's okay.
Yeah. Right.
Whoops.
Right.
Whoops.
Yeah.
So they have the interaction with what's his name with the other guy,
yeah.
the art dealer.
No, the
oh the guy who yeah.
yeah yeah. So Chris sends this picture to his buddy, and he was like, "Man, look at this dude! Look at this crazy, you know, crazy white dude
who
he
also
was,
works for he's airport
he's TSA,
yeah, TSA
which
right
is
right
so good
which great. It gets back to that
so
later.
Great
yeah
and he's just like, oh, that's so and so, that's Andre,
yeah,
and he was just like, what
it is.
And he was like, yeah, man, that's Andre. Like, he.
Why
you know.
Is he dressed up like a.
and this is where Chris is just like, we got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he kind of takes, like, he's.
Well, they. That's when they.
He and
that,
she
though,
go
this
on
is
a
when
walk.
They decide to take a walk.
And
well,
then.
Brad, also.
And they're going to play their, you know,
bingo.
Play some games.
Right.
Let's play some bingo.
And also when after the thing happens with the Andre,
yeah.
with that guy, Chris goes upstairs, and they're all down there, like downstairs, actually.
Oh, man,
you know,
they all
talking,
look up at him,
and it's just like a mute.
Yeah, as soon as
like,
he goes
they just
out,
like,
yeah.
as like, and yep. they all are like eyeing his
yeah.
footsteps,
watching
from upstairs.
Him. And like that scene, I didn't get that scene, like it was super creepy,
right?
Like, don't get
well,
me wrong, but I think that's what it,
I think that's
what
like, you start to go, well, this is not good,
yeah. yeah,
right?
Chris might be in a little bit of trouble,
and a lot of people seem to be out on it,
yes, yes. So,
not just racist, but now it's just a whole new level of weird.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now it's getting super weird.
Yeah.
So he kind of is like, can we go for a walk? So they go for a walk, and Chris opens up to Rose.
Yeah.
And he's just talking about his mom and how he left her on the side of the road. Like, she died alone.
She could have saved her.
Could have saved her, and I didn't. So, you know, again, like, they're building this. They're making
yeah.
you care about Rose. They're making you care about Chris. And Rose the entire time is in.
And that they're a unit, really.
Yeah, they're in this together. Right. Like, yeah. It's her and him. And so, you know, he kind of says that he loves her. And she's like, I love you, too. She's like, I just want to go home. Yeah. And she was like, okay. Like, we'll go. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. And again, you're like, oh, this girl's great.
Yeah.
She's like, you're not comfortable. Let's get you
she's
out
She's not
here.
Comfortable. Yeah. I'm yeah. not. He, you're not
and she's also kind of, she apologizes, I think, the day before when they first get there because, you know, we were talking about it earlier. But
right.
She's like, my dad's never said my man.
Right.
Yeah. He said it three times
my
since
man,
he's met you.
My man.
And yeah. yeah. Why was my brother acting like this?
Going on and on and on.
And I'm related right. to these people. And,
right.
Yeah.
So they go back to the room and either his phone. There's something off
happened.
Where they start packing and
well,
then
but the auction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
we don't
that.
Know what is
while,
going
while
on.
They're talk. While Chris and Rose are like, they've went away and talked.
Yeah. yeah.
They say
a game
they're
of a big a bingo.
Bingo
of. Yeah. Cause I'm like, well, first of all those cards are already winners.
Yeah.
But like, cause I'm like every, like, did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, they're all lined up. Was already like pre.
Well, they're lined up for their price.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
So I'm like, well, this is a weird bingo.
Yeah.
And
turns out when
Bradley Whitford starts doing these like,
Hand gestures.
And
he would
does
go
like
one.
The number one.
And somebody would put their card
somebody,
up.
Yeah, and then
like,
you're
two
like,
fist,
this
and then
is.
What was the two fist?
10.
Oh, I got that.
But then
like
I think
20.
When he did that was
oh,
like, boom,
okay,
you're
sold.
Good.
We're done.
No. I mean, it was like, so we see this and it's like these hand gestures and it's like, you start to realize,
but you don't see the other people. You
no,
just see
no. He's just doing his hand, and it's
yeah.
like this is
no.
And
no,
you see the cards.
You see the cards.
Yeah, you
right,
see the cards right. up to you. But you're like, this is not
so my,
how you play bingo.
My initial reaction is, it's the greatest game.
Well,
what's man the greatest
yeah,
game?
Yeah, something's going on. But when they pull back,
they pan out. Yeah.
And there's a framed photo of Chris.
Right.
And you're like. This
oh
is
no! It was. It's the man is the most dangerous game.
Yeah,
like that's what I was like.
The
oh,
most dangerous
game. They're gonna hunt him.
Yeah,
like that's
well,
what this is gonna
and
be.
And you realize this is an auction.
Yes. And just got real.
It got real.
Yeah.
And so like Chris is just like, we gotta go. Yeah. We gotta get out.
And the
like,
winner of the auction
is what's his name?
Stephen Root.
Stephen Root,
the blind guy,
yeah.
who we thought was cool.
We thought was cool. And like the look on his face, he also kind of like you're just like maybe he. Like I thought,
it looked like he was kind of unassuring, but kind
so
of.
So my initial
like,
thought is, he's like, I like this kid. I'm gonna win the bid,
yeah,
and I'm gonna cut him loose.
That's hopeful.
Like that's what I mean.
That's really
like,
hopeful.
Yeah, you know,
for 10 or 20 million, because I couldn't get a sense of. Like,
I feel like it was 10.
Yeah, I think it was 10 too.
Yeah.
But it was let's say million. I was guessing million.
It,
I don't know.
I'm
million.
Assuming 1,000 seems a little light
for this.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I'm, like
no.
this group.
No,
of
no,
folks.
I mean,
like,
they're
so
racist,
like,
but 10,000, that's just offensive.
Yeah, but yeah, so
he's worth more than that.
But it's clear we've
given him some kind of
we witnessed an auction. And then they go upstairs.
Right. They go upstairs and they're packing. And then she kind of goes in the other room and there's a door that just happens to be left open. Oh, and he opens the box. It's this red box.
Mm.
And he starts opening it. And it's
also another pause.
Yeah.
When at the very, very beginning of the movie, when, you know, they're talking and he's like, oh, did you happen to tell him I was black? And she's like, no. And then he also is just like, now I'm also the first black person that you've ever dated.
First
before,
black
right?
boyfriend. Right.
Yeah, first
yeah.
black boyfriend.
And
yeah.
She was like, yeah.
Yeah. And yep.
Like, yep.
Yeah.
So he opens this box, and in this box is
it's about 12 or 10 pictures
of her,
I lost count.
Of Rose.
She's got a type.
She does have a type of Rose with all of these black
dudes. And it's not even gender related.
And then as he's just like flipping through, and then there's a picture of Georgina.
Yeah,
without the with
like
her
with
natural
like
hair
a blowout.
Yeah,
brandy.
Yeah. And then there's Walter, and uh-huh. then there's Andre.
Yeah.
And he's
now
just,
I gotta say I don't think I had noticed. I think that's why I was wondering with Andre before because they kind of start going through the pictures. Not quick.
You know what?
I didn't see Andre
because they say that her brother had a different method.
Yeah,
and her brother's the one that gets Andre in the beginning. So I wonder if it wasn't Andre.
Yeah, because I was trying
was
to see. I was like, you know,
I
was wondering
Walter.
That too.
Walter, and Georgina.
Georgina
there was
definitely
there was a. There's a lot of photos in this thing.
A lot.
Basically, yeah, you lie.
Right.
In other words,
so he's just like, let's go. And she's like, okay. And at this point, I was like, they're hypnotizing her.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like,
they're making her forget these people.
And she doesn't realize she's been doing this.
Correct. So,
which would have also been an interesting.
Yeah.
But like, either whichever direction they ended up going, what was in would have been interesting.
Yeah, either way. So they're coming down the steps, and he's just like, Rose, give me the
car. And they all surround him.
They
basically.
Do. They start forming a circle
and he,
around him.
The brother
him.
Is in he front of the door with, like, what was it?
It was a lacrosse stick.
Yeah. And he's just twirling it, just like, oh,
and
you know.
I forget that, like, those are fiberglass, and I forget, that, like, the noise that they make. And the noise is unnerving. Yeah. Well, it's also hollow. So, like, when he hits it on his hand, it makes a specific,
like,
sound. Yeah. So he's like, Rose, give me the fucking keys.
And she's like,
and she's
crying.
Like,
crying.
Like, yeah. She's on the steps and she's like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't find him. I can't find him. I can't find him. And he's like, Rose, give me the keys. And she was like, you know, I can't do that.
The keys. And they're just and like, I was right like, in her middle finger.
Oh, God damn it. They're all in on it.
And
so
then
he goes after the brother. Mm-hmm. And then Catherine Keener just kind of tinks the glass and Chris
and
just
drops.
Just drops down.
And even the brother like kind of gives some credit. He's like, man, that was a night. You see that hurdle or that like jump he gave at me? That was a great attempt. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Was great.
But all right.
Yeah.
So Chris wakes up in a chair and then there's like a TV in front of him.
And it kicks on,
and he's tied to the chair. He can't get out. And he's doing everything he can to get out. This is where I had a bit of a problem.
This is my only complaint.
Yes, and I say complaint as more of it's just like minuscule.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just felt like this was, especially for this deep in the film, some very, very lazy exposition.
Yeah, yeah. We're so far into it already.
Yeah,
but I guess you have to do this.
I mean, you had to somehow
get some kind of a background.
At some point,
I guess.
you need to spoon feed it for the really dumb people in the audience,
right.
And you also need a scene where your protagonist has the plan.
Right.
Kind of spelled out for him.
Correct.
I just felt like when Stephen Root's on the TV and he's like, well, they say it works better if we tell you everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's a little
lazy. You know what?
Lazy.
I wonder, like, to me, like that's Jordan Peele being like, look, man, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We have to tell. Like,
there's no sugarcoating.
Because they
want to
pay off. That line of dialogue feels like a Jordan Peele line.
They really need to pay off.
I guess every line is a Jordan Peele line.
the role of the two characters, Georgina and Walter, they really need to make that
but
stick
they don't pay. They
at
don't
the very
there.
End.
Oh, okay.
So there has to be some
I'm
exposition. So people aren't confused about, you know, there's people who are still think, well, you know, so these are brainwashed people.
Right.
Not like, no.
No, they're not.
There's more to it.
So
that.
The entire, Chris is now like 2 or 3 days missing.
Yeah.
So his buddy at the TSA is calling him all the time. It's going straight to his voicemail. So he goes to the cops, which this is what I love about this movie, along with everything else, is we have that huge scene with Rose and her family and Chris, and you're on. I don't say this jokingly. Like, I was on the edge of my seat with like, where are we going? What's going to happen now? So we get this 5 minute interlude of a little bit of levity.
Nice comic.
Yeah. To
comic
bring
relief.
You down. Like, that's what a good suspenseful horror flick will do is like it'll build you up at and then bring it back down.
I liked how the cops didn't they just didn't believe it at all. Just and then she brings in two other officers and is like, listen to this, and he thinks
so what I
liked he's getting
about
through
it also all black.
Yeah,
like,
were they all black? I thought the one was Hispanic, that dude was black. Oh, was he? Okay,
yeah.
But I love the fact, like, it would have been so easy for him to stack the deck and have it be like, oh, here's white cops once again letting down. And it was I think that's what makes this movie like what stops this movie from not that it has a right to not do this or an obligation to not do, but it could have been very like white bad, black good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that simplistic.
Sure, sure.
And it never takes the simple
route. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's like they're not doing, like, again, they're not doing bad things to black people because they hate them. In a way, they're doing it because they
want to be them.
They're jealous.
Abilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know?
Well, it's also, I think, like I said, like, you could take Chris out of this movie and replace it with a white guy, and it's still,
the movie still works. You just don't have the racial undertone.
Right, right. It's an effective movie, but when you add Chris to the mix, like, it adds a whole other level to this movie. Right.
Absolutely.
So he's watching this video, and they lay it out for you is that they've developed this brain surgery because they say in the beginning that Bradley Whitford is a neurosurgeon. Did they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That they've developed a surgery where they can remove the brain except for a small part, which like controls your motor functions and all kinds of like all the neural bypasses that you need to have in your brain. And they can replace it with this other person's brain, and they have a whole new body. They have a whole new life. And then you're still there. But you're
in the sunken place.
In the sunken place. And it's just like, golly. Like, that's so.
You're basically a passenger in your own body.
Exactly.
Right?
It's so morbid, but it's also like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Like, that's a new thing altogether for me. So
you're repressed.
Exactly.
Deeply repressed.
Yeah. So as Chris, like, gets that information, the screen cuts out and it cuts back on to the cup and it goes ding.
Ding.
And I like, I like the way Chris goes, no, 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 no. The same way Georgina did earlier. And then he's gone. Then we cut back to the buddy.
Yeah,
where
TSA
now he's looking up what happened to
Andre.
Yeah, and he's like, he's been missing for 6 months.
And we find out he's like a jazz musician.
Right.
Like,
for sure.
He had a life. He had some kind of like presence.
Exactly. Right. So then we cut back to Chris. And this is where Steven Root pops up and explains the whole thing to it. Mm-hmm. The entire time, Chris has been clawing at this chair.
Which we
it was like a leather
earlier.
Chair.
It's like
a nervous. Now it's like cloth.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But which is a nervous, I mean, sort of a nervous tick of his because we see it throughout the movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
When it's a nervous tick when he starts revealing stuff about his mom.
Yeah, when he's uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, we see that he's doing that.
So he looks at the, and he, like, it was so weird that.
And it's a worn. Obviously, well,
I think he did that
leather. Yeah, but I
the chair
also
was old and
it's
old.
It's been used a lot.
Correct. A lot of people have sat in this chair.
Yes, and I also like he. I think if it was so weird, like my brain was like, put that in your ears, like that stuff that's popping out. Put that in your ears, right? And as he looks down at it, I was like, attaboy, put that stuff in your ears so you don't have to hear that stupid clink.
And I also saw that he could reach down there.
Which was, but if he could reach down there.
Well, at first when he was trying to get out, he was trying to bite through the straps.
It was important to see that he could get his head down.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because his hands can't come up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was good. Like, it was smart. So you can't later go, well,
how did he do that?
Yeah. I was thinking that for a second, too. And now I'm just like, oh, okay.
That's right. Because made sure that we saw that he could actually get over there.
Right. So then the screen cuts out. We cut back to Bradley Whitford, who has Steven Root on a table. And this
there's two tables. Yeah. Right.
Steven Root is really the only one on the table, and he's cutting the top of his head off, like his skull, and revealing his brain. And there's really not. This is why I have
this
a hard
is full
time
blown
calling
horror
it.
Movie.
This is where it goes horror movie.
Yeah.
Like this is the 80s horror movie that I feel like Jordan Peele probably grew up
playing. At least
where you see
like blood.
Blood. Yeah. And a little bit of gore.
A major amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the brother is wheeling it, you know, comes in and he unhooks all of Chris's restraints.
Chris is like apparently out for the
count.
You
think that, you know, they've done the clink thing again and he's out for the count. And then all of a sudden, this is the scene I thought was the least effective, is you see him go grab a ball, like a
bocce ball.
Like a
bocce. It's a bocce ball.
It's bocce.
Well, they said bocce.
Well, they're also wrong.
well, yes, they're abducting black people and stealing their brains. So, yeah, they're wrong.
They're wrong. Yeah. Yeah. The entire
wrong
movie's
on
wrong.
Many
it's,
spectrums.
It's,
but.
You know, it's that Italian game.
Yeah. But, like, that was the scene I was like, wow.
You know what I really like is that gelato.
Yeah.
That's good.
Gelato is it.
I mean, is,
oh.
From, yeah, it's made by Jell-O, right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's made by.
That's why it's called that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like talking about comic books and wrestling and people who don't know what they're talking about.
He's watching this. He's getting the Sicilian sweats
all
over there.
Nerf footballs. I don't know anything about
that.
Yeah.
All right.
Just Nerf.
Get back to this fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's a me, Mario.
Sorry. Okay. Now we're done.
I'm so glad I'm Sicilian. So
hey, don't look at my shirt. Then.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Super Mario Brothers shirt. By
just,
yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you get all ragey now.
Yeah, we get all Sicilian rage.
Get out. Get the fuck
flipping tables.
Yeah.
That's so, like, I didn't like that scene where you see him grab the ball.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been more effective if you just see, like, the brother get hit and then Chris is there.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, as this scene progresses, I'm trying to figure out, and I'm not always completely up on my racial slurs and history of, you know, racial oppression, but I couldn't help but notice that at least two of the things he does in this scene, I feel like he takes, and I mean Jordan Peele, the author, takes things that are associated with black, like racist stereotypes, right?
Like racist overtones. And
right.
Yeah.
And subverts them and uses them as weapons.
Yeah.
So he starts by plugging his ears by picking cotton.
Holy.
Right.
And then he takes a deer head and he stabs The dad, right?
Yeah. What's that? Yeah. I don't get that one.
Well, a deer would also be, anyone? A buck.
Buck. I still don't get that one.
Well, okay, and buck is pretty antiquated, but that they would refer to male black slaves as bucks.
Bucks, yeah.
And so, so that, like, two of the key things
he
didn't
like them either. Remember, right. He didn't like
and
deer.
He hated deer.
He thought that,
right.
Yeah.
Right,
that's right,
and there's a deer head on that wall, and then he uses that deer head to impale him. So
he was plotting all of this as it was going down.
In the words of Paul Harris, aha! Man, I didn't even put those together.
I feel like there are so many, like Joe, you were saying, so many aha moments like that were caught, and also some that you know.
Was it a croquet ball?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, they reference bocce ball earlier in the film.
They do?
I'm almost positive that they do. And I went and researched.
I guess I feel like croquet is kind of like that rich white guy game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was that.
And I was trying to, and I know the Wikipedia plot description says it's a bocce ball because I went to research because I couldn't figure out what he hit him with.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to figure out, could I somehow make that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was definitely something hard too, because I mean
bocce balls are
I believe it's pronounced bocce.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
They
it's
are
boch.
Boch. Like they have like it's like a I don't even know. So you know like the inside of a baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a harder version
of boss
that.
Ball.
It's boss.
Oh buddy.
Yeah. Why did I want to start wrestling?
Yeah. But they're hard. Like it's the inside, it's usually they're just like painted. And then croquet balls, I think, are kind of the same. I feel like they're like the same weight and consistency of.
Oh, because I'm white, I'm going to know what a croquet ball.
Yeah, I figured you would know.
Nice,
yeah, living out here in this sweet house.
Yeah,
but yeah,
where's your polo shirt, Tom?
I'm all about hoodies.
What's this hoodie about here?
I'm all about the hoodies.
Yeah, but they both have like the same weight and density. I guess
of like a baseball.
Yeah, well, no, about. Like they're
I
harder.
Think they're harder.
They're harder than a baseball. Yeah, yeah. My density has bought me to you. I almost got that tattoo. Like they had like a flash of like him.
Be ironic if they spelt it wrong and wrote destiny.
I was like, no, that's not the line.
Oh.
So that's crazy. I didn't even think about that till you just said that.
That's
brilliant.
I didn't think about that
either. And so, I was trying to figure out the other ways he killed people.
Well, I mean, he shoots. Well, no, he doesn't. Mm. Walter shoots.
Yeah.
Rose.
Yeah.
So he's. Another good
takes
scene.
Down the brother
takes down the brother takes down the dad
takes down the dad
and
then
I,
he goes upstairs and George
well he accidentally sets the place on fire, which I was like, oh well, man, like
but
so
he did well he sees it but he doesn't stop it.
No, yeah.
At this point he's like kind of within his rights.
And in my brain I was like, evidence, bro, like you
no.
Don't burn the evidence.
No, this
like
is good to go.
I don't know if you could have enough evidence.
That's true.
No. For people to believe
well,
that this
no.
was happening.
No, no, no. Like right. When you have the operation room,
I still don't think
no,
like, people would come up with a reason
they've
that
got
made
Andre.
This normal.
Remember Andre's
that's
there.
True.
All he has to do is get out.
Yeah. That's true.
That's true.
So he gets in his car and he takes off and he's driving. And
Catherine Keener.
Yeah, he takes her.
Oh,
out.
How does he kill her?
Remember the first off the teacup.
The
teacup,
like
he comes.
What a great scene where like the teacup is right in between. It's almost like loaded gun in between the two of them, and they both run
for it. He
and
gets
he
it.
Smashes it.
Yeah,
and she realizes she's effed. Like there's nothing she
that's
can do.
Her only
that's
power.
All she's got.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does he kill her?
There's like a letter opener. Or
yeah,
something?
There was something.
Does he stab her?
Yeah.
And like the was it the eye?
Yeah, it looked like the eye. Yeah. I mean, they cut away from that.
But then the brother comes back though too.
The brother does come back.
Yeah,
brother gets stomped on.
Well,
and
the
he almost has him in a super lock.
Yeah.
Every
like
time he reaches for the door, the brother
kicks
his leg up. The brother kicks his leg up to slam the door shut.
Right.
And he reaches for the door again.
Oh, that's right. This is where he has
leg.
So finally,
like the third or fourth time, he reaches for the door.
What he's doing,
but he's not. Going for the door, he's going for the brother's because the brother kicks the leg
he's
up and he takes that opportunity
up,
and just
stabs
jams him in the leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, meanwhile,
I will say, as a guy who tore his quadricep,
yeah,
off the bone.
Yeah.
That is painful. Like, that is awful.
Meanwhile, Allison Williams or Rose is upstairs listening to I Had the Time of My Life through her headphones. Yeah. with a glass of milk and Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops, dry, and a cup.
Dry Fruit Loops and a
white,
cup of milk.
Like, and then she's eating the Fruit Loops one at a time.
And binging, I got this from Twitter because somebody was like, man, the most unrealistic thing about this movie was nobody uses Bing anymore. Binging NCAA prospects.
Yes. And as they pan out.
When I saw her using Bing, my first thought was like, Is that a white thing?
Bing? Do white people use Bing?
Microsoft is a sponsor of this movie.
Oh, you think? Well, with all the Microsoft
all the Windows
phones?
Yeah.
But my other thought was, you would think if I was Microsoft in that scene, I would pay to have her use Google.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I would not. Like, I don't want people watching the movie go, if Bing was good enough for Rose from Get Out, I guess it's good enough for me.
You never see anybody use Google.
Yeah.
In movies, it's never Google.
Yeah.
Ever. And I just had to believe Microsoft has that cornered.
I think it's an easy way to get money.
That's probably true.
You know what I mean? Like Google doesn't need to pay you.
No, they're just like,
and
we're
Google. They're like, no, and Bing does. And so it's probably a quick, easy,
a little
20, 30 grand or whatever that Bing will be like, yeah, sure, yeah, use Bing.
Done. And I do like where they're pulling out, and on her wall, she has all of those pictures framed.
Yes.
Like when they're all of the pictures that she has of all of the individuals she has duped are framed
also,
on her wall.
She does say too, when they, to go back a little bit, when they all kind of corner him and you know, he's like, where are the keys? When he is out, like before, when he's sinking and they're all, and she's like, you were my favorite.
You were my favorite.
Yeah. She's like,
she does say one of,
she says one of.
Oh,
one of
my favorite.
I was like, she can't even say he's her favorite. Yeah. Like, oh,
one of my favorites.
And also even kind of a few more kudos to even as much of a terrible character she was to Allison Williams. As far as her acting goes, when she's on the phone with TSA guy, when he calls
and she flips.
And like, she has a super flat effect. And he's just like, yeah, have you seen Chris? She's like, oh, I don't know. I thought that he left 2 days ago.
She sounds looks like, that's such a great
her
scene.
Her face is deadpan, but her voice, and I do like that they start setting her. He realizes.
He's smart. And he's like, can I put you on hold for a second?
This bitch is lying. Yeah. I know she's lying. I'm going to be right back.
Record.
But then as soon as he hits record, she starts playing him, and he realizes that she's playing him. She's like, I know the way you've been looking at me. He's like, I don't look at you. You're Chris's girlfriend. I don't look at you anyway. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she'd been flirty with him earlier
when they were on the way there. She's like, I want
to
talk to
him. Now you realize, she's setting up her next.
No. Right. Well, I think she's setting up. If something happens, she's setting up the buddy.
I think she's always
to where he could maybe get in trouble.
Correct.
She's always looking for more resources.
I think she could go either way.
No, man. Okay. I think she's always farming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. True. But then, that was a great scene. And that's what I say. Like, that dude was great. Like, he was able to give, even in that tense-ass moment, like,
some
he's delivering
like
a little bit of comedy. Yeah. So Chris gets in the car, and he starts taking off, and he hits Georgina. And, like, he flashes back to his mom. He's like, just go. He's like, no, damn it. Yeah. Like, I can't go.
Well, after that, and then the deer. It's right. Like, he's like, nah.
He gets her in the car, and he starts taking off. And this is the double reveal where Allison Williams comes out with a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, grandma. And I was like, grandma.
Yeah.
And then the whole scene is shot from the outside of the car looking in. Right. So you see Chris in the forefront, but you've got Georgina in the background and she's not facing the camera, but her hair is gone. Like her hair has been knocked off.
Yeah.
So she
got a big old.
Well, she stops.
Star.
And he was like, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? And she turns and she's got that massive scar across her forehead. And you're just like, oh, that's grandma.
Yeah.
And she's like, you ruined everything. And she
lunges
and lunges at him and they crash. And then she dies.
Yeah.
And then
Walter comes back.
Well, no, like he's like kind of crawling away. And then you see Allison Williams making her way, and she was like,
oh yeah, that's
him,
right.
Get him, grandpa.
And he just comes
and dude,
like
he comes like
100 miles in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's running at him and he's got his hand around his throat and he's going to kill him. He's going to kill Chris. And Chris is reaching for his phone. And like at the last possible second, he takes like 6 pictures. And then you think it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like for whatever reason, it doesn't work on Walter. So he gets up and Allison Williams is right there with Rose, is there with the gun. He was like, let me do it. And she was like, okay. And I was like, oh, it did work.
Yeah.
And then it's like he turns the gun on her and shoots her in the stomach. And then he's like, he looks at Chris and then blows his own brains out.
Yeah, there's a moment there where you're like,
oh no.
Yeah, like, which way is this going? Yeah.
Who's got the gun now?
There's a police car coming up the driveway. And I was like, nah.
Oh, well, also, before that, like, he goes to Allison Williams, and she's kind of, like, begging.
Oh, yeah. He's choking her out. Yeah.
And she's like, I love you.
And he was just like, he lets go. Like, he was just like,
right. And she starts smiling.
Right. Because, you know, he's a dude.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, there's also a message against violence against women a little bit.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I do love you. Like, I did love you, and I can't do this to you. You know, like, there's a
like, I opened up to you and I told you all
right.
This about
I told you
me.
All this
like,
stuff. Yeah. So now you've got this police car coming in. So
tense.
Now, where I thought they were going was Night of the Living Dead.
Me too. Yeah,
I thought
they were.
Man, they're totally.
You know,
I thought
where Ben is standing in the window.
Yeah,
and they shoot. Like, you're just like, oh, Ben made it. He's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Blam.
Yeah.
And they kill him at the last possible second.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no.
Yeah.
And then so as that police car.
But
she starts screaming.
But also, what a great way to flip that trope on its head. Because normally in a movie like this, when the police show up, you're like, okay, the police are here. Everything's
not
okay.
Especially with the encounter that happened earlier.
Right. When the cop shows up, you're just
on
like,
top
oh,
of
man.
A white girl.
Right. Yeah.
And she
starts screaming.
In
he's
a
gonna,
like, suburban area. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, she's saying help.
There's a house burning in the background. There's
yeah.
full
there's
of bodies everywhere.
There. Full
yeah.
of more dead white people.
Yeah. Right,
like,
right.
Now I gotta say, I'm trying to think. I don't, for some reason, remember the house burning. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. It's
burned
up in the distance.
When she comes out of the house to shoot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because, yeah.
You see the flames.
Yeah. So you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is not going to end well. But
then
who
the
gets
door,
out of the car?
The door opens
and
you see TSA on the side.
Yeah.
And
like my theater was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
even
there
I was
a
like,
huge
yeah!
array of applause
yeah.
during that scene.
So he
yeah.
gets, like, the buddy gets out of the car, and Chris is just, Chris looks, like, he looks up at him, and he gets in the car.
He's like,
and they're just sitting there for a second. He's like,
how did you know where to find me?
He's like, I told you. I told you not to come up here. I told you it was going to happen. Don't get in that house. Crazy ass white girls. And they drive away. And that's how it ends.
But but one of the best things, he's like, how'd you know to find me? He's like, T.S. mother.
Yeah. I do, there's another line where he's talking to the detective. He was like,
oh, yeah. Because, you know, we do the same thing.
Yeah. We have a little bit more information than you do. Like, yeah. I might be a little bit more qualified to do this than you are, but
he's about TSA skills.
We're all detectives.
We're all detectives. And that's how it ends. And I was like, that is the perfect ending.
Yeah.
Like a perfect ending to a perfect movie.
And she dies.
She does die. Yeah.
Like we see her kind
of dying.
She
sees her and Walter in the distance.
Yeah.
And we actually, you know, so they don't leave it like any kind of like,
no.
Oh, maybe she lives. It's like,
no. There's no weird sequel like in,
oh, please don't.
Family's
done. What was the one with, by the guy that did Evil Dead?
Don't Breathe?
The turkey baster. Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Where, like, they leave that open for a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, she's walking away and you're just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been perfect as a standalone. This is a standalone. Like, you're not going to get a second one.
I really hope you don't. Because I can't imagine what sort of plot contrivance you could come up with.
He falls for another white girl.
I think Jordan Peele, I mean, being a hardcore fan of horror films, of classic horror films, I think he also knows that, like, you know,
don't do
they're good
it's
because
cheesy
it's
after
it's,
that,
you know, you cheap,
right?
Yeah. And also these are his characters.
Yeah.
Like you can't make a movie without his say so.
So,
you know, so yeah, I think like I've said before, I'm a horror nerd, right? And I love good horror. And this is probably the best horror. One of the best horror films I've seen in the last 10 years.
Oh, it was
like,
amazing.
It is outstanding. It's so smart. It's one of the few horror films
as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of the few horror films that a second viewing will make it a completely different movie, much like The Visit.
Yeah.
It's a completely different movie on a second view.
All the great horror movies, and I think I feel like we can call this a great horror movie.
Yes.
Are about something. The horror is something real. Even if the horror is supernatural, it represents something real. It has a comment on society.
I think all of the major horror films, Night of the Living Dead, not so much, but the original Dawn of the Dead has an absolute message to it. I think Halloween has a message to it about the disillusion of
when it came
innocence.
Out.
Yeah. And this one is the same deal about race relations and perception of race in relationships and in this world that we live in.
What this does for its time, you know, because I was like, what is a good movie that parallels this?
Yeah.
And it's Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah.
Oh. Because it's horrific what happens in that movie.
But it's, but so true.
It's still funny.
But it's a satire. It is biting satire. And this is a biting satire. I mean, this is a, you know, it's actually
gentlemen,
brutal,
there's no fighting in the race war
room. It's a brutal satire buried underneath a
that
movie
was a question
where you're like
trivia night on Friday night.
Oh, was it?
Like, yeah, they had like, they're gentlemen, there's what? I was like, no fighting in a war room.
But I mean, it's one of those movies where it's like, you're like, should I laugh at this? Is this funny? But
yeah,
it's
an uncomfortable.
But
laughter.
It's also it's also like really brutally, you know, pointing the finger if you see it.
Yeah. Does anybody know when Jordan Peele started writing this movie?
I don't. I know. I will say that that podcast episode is in the last 6 months. So I have to. I feel like this is probably about a year.
Okay,
a
so it's not a movie that has been kicking around in his head for a long time.
I don't think so.
And I feel like it hasn't been because I feel like, and I'm just plain psychologist here, I feel like the fact that the villains in the movie wanted to ingratiate themselves and then become black people, mm-hmm. I feel like that choice is made by him post fame.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's probably got a lot of people, you know, that come up to him that have seen the show.
Mm-hmm. My man.
Yeah, that thing that they talk to him like that.
What year did Keanu come out? So that was last year.
That was like last year,
So if I were a betting man, I'd say this is about 2 years in the making.
Yeah.
Right? So he gets the clout. They get the clout from the show. They start building their name, their brand. Keanu hits, and it does pretty well.
It does decent.
Yeah. And that opens the door. And now he can go off to the races and make this
Blumhouse, flick. Though.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Blumhouse will gamble on somebody up and coming or somebody down on their luck.
Yep.
Because the risk reward ratio is so potentially great.
Yeah, especially this wasn't like Fox. This wasn't Universal.
But because this feels like I said, that choice is
Universal.
I think it was. Yeah, Universal. Yeah, I think distributed it
through Blumhouse.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but I think Universal also had Keanu.
But yeah, I mean, there's.
But as far as like the main,
Yeah, who's because like the directly like. You know, Fox is a great example of like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No.
But this doesn't seem out of Blumhouse's wheelhouse.
No.
Right?
This seems like,
and I couldn't really see Fox doing this.
I don't think a studio would have the balls to pour real money.
No.
Into a movie.
It doesn't need real money, though.
It doesn't. But my thing, I think they would have had them make too many changes.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, well, they probably
wouldn't. Well, can his friend be white so we can see that?
Well, they wouldn't let him be a first time director.
Or can there be at least like two heroes or something? Maybe
Maybe she is the hero.
Black one, right? Right.
Right. Yeah. Maybe she.
And
she is not so bad.
Two black guys arriving at the end of a horror film.
Right.
I want a refund.
This is also Jordan Peele's first movie.
It is.
Yeah.
They would not have let him.
No.
A major studio would not have okayed him directing.
It's almost like what they just did with Halloween. Like the two guys they got for Halloween when they as Danny McBride is writing it and the guy that directed Your Highness, like it's one of Danny McBride's buddies, are doing the Halloween reboot. Well, no, I'm sorry. Sequel that takes place after 1981's 2.
What?
Yeah. And like it's I don't get it.
We'll see.
But I mean, if Carpenter puts a stamp of approval on it and Jason Blum was like, yeah, let's roll.
It's like Stranger Things for Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah. I'd be like, okay. But you had me at Halloween anyway, but the fact that you've got it's a very weird choice.
Yeah.
And they're going to spend a little bit. I have to believe they're going to put a little bit of money into it.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's
gonna, you don't have to put much.
You don't have to,
put,
don't
have
much.
To put much. There's
not. And to kind of go back to Tom, what you were saying too about like, you know, maybe if he gets this many, you know, experiences himself, it makes me wonder because he did just marry it's Chelsea Peretti.
Oh,
Peretti.
Yeah. Who is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah. She's on, what's it?
I saw her
in Sandberg. Yeah, Brooklyn
Nine-Nine. Yeah, I saw her stand up.
Yeah, I saw it too. But it makes me wonder, like, maybe did he meet her parents?
Which one is she on Brooklyn Nine-Nine? She's the deadpan one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
She's the one who's actually not, has any sort of, like, legal experience. She's not a cop.
She's just there.
She works for Holt. And she gives everybody crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've watched.
Yeah. No. Look, she's got a special on Netflix. It's very funny.
It's really funny.
Very funny. Yeah. But that's a good question. That's a very
it's like,
good
you line. Know, were her parents maybe like also like, hey, my man,
I would have voted for Obama for a third term.
I was like, how much of that like is real?
Yeah. Real. Right.
That's a great point. But this is fantastic. It deserves all the accolades it's getting.
Yeah.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Good.
good direction.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't say that, you know, easily.
Like, this is a passable
flicks.
Direction. No, I mean, it's...
This is a fantastic...
When you see a director write their own material, you know, it's like, it's as they envisioned it. So,
right.
So, you know, you get to see that. We saw it with Tarantino when Reservoir Dogs came out, you know, and Pulp Fiction. It's like, and it worked, it clicked so well because it was, like, so fully realized. And so, you know, I kind of hope...
Let's see what else he's got in the pipeline.
Go to another party's movie to direct. Yeah. I think it's like he needs to do another one of his.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
start to establish.
I think based on box office, he's gonna if he wants to, he can.
He should. Yep. Yeah, you know? He should.
At least
because,
for this weekend. I mean, it's already.
Yeah,
it's gonna. I mean,
well, they probably made it for $5 million.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I mean,
they're way.
I mean, yeah.
It's. I mean, a superhero movie is always gonna win,
right?
Unless you're Fantastic Four, but. You know, Logan is
or
Logan's
Green Lantern. Or,
no, that I think that did well. I think its first week.
First week, it did
Batman versus Superman did well in its first week. Yeah. You know, but it's going to lose to the last
Logan.
Quote unquote Wolverine movie.
Yeah,
well, but that has really good buzz, behind
especially
it.
That's one that's supposed to be really good.
Exactly.
So. There you go. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, like I said, this one was a tough one because honestly, the whole time I was watching it, it was like the closest thing I can equate this to is like Doctor Strangelove because of the time.
That's a really
of
good
the
comparison.
Subject matter.
Yeah.
You know, and it has nothing to do with like how they overlap, but it's just like that because there's not a lot of satire in. You know, and horror. There's like Student Bodies was one that came up.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a movie I watched it last night. And it's from 1985. It's not good. it's got Danny Aiello. He's got a small part.
You had
part.
Me at Danny Aiello.
Yeah. He's in it. It's what's his name? I can't think of his name. Michael Moriarty's in it. And it's 1985's The Stuff.
Oh my God! I own this.
Yeah,
on Blu-ray.
It is a. I mean, it's.
Is it a horror film?
It is a horror film. The movie opens with like some guy and they're like at a factory and this guy's like walking out of work and there's some gloop coming up out of like just bubbling out of the ground and he goes like, "What's this?" and he eats it.
Oh,
like, that's
God.
Really good. Yep. And then another guy comes over and he eats it. And it's like we should be able to sell this. And then next thing you know, there's this like the stuff and it's like. Kind of like yogurt, I guess, and everybody loves it, and people are getting more and more obsessed with it. And Michael Moriarty plays like sort of an ex-FBI agent who's hired by a competing company to find out what the secret ingredient is. And it gets into this whole thing about commercialism and consumerism.
This is so crazy.
It's crazy. Low budget.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Last night, like after I left the movie, like I found myself for some reason just looking up modern trailers on YouTube. Yeah. And I came across one. I had never heard of this movie. Magic.
Yeah.
With
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. And Anne Margaret. And I was looking at the trailer. It's creepy as hell.
The movie
and I was just
creepy.
Like, what is this? I've never seen this before.
Ventriloquist dummies are creepy.
Yeah. Yeah that's like, in Dan's wheelhouse.
And that's
yeah.
from the mind of the man who wrote. The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Really?
William
right.
Goldman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
William Goldman
wow.
wrote that book.
It's a that's creepy. That's a creepy movie.
Wow. But yeah, I never heard.
I was gonna say The Faculty. That was the other one that I
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I was trying
close.
To find, yeah, like this one, like it's a satire that sort of is masqueraded as a horror movie. It's not a great one. Honestly,
yeah.
If you want to get something closer to like the ideas behind this, like Stir of Echoes with Kevin Bacon.
That's the one I was talking about.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to.
Faculty was Rodriguez, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stir of Echoes is one where Kevin Bacon gets hypnotized, and then because of that, he can start to see other things. And it came out the same time as Sixth Sense, so it got completely.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a good creepy movie that's worth checking out.
And it's funny because Strangelove ended up ruining a film's release, which was the movie. Failsafe.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Failsafe came out like maybe a month after Strangelove.
Yeah.
And their plots are virtually identical.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. the problem they ran into is that Failsafe is a very serious movie. It's a really good movie.
It is really good.
But because it was in such close succession to Dr. Strangelove, people were laughing at it.
Thought it was like a carbon.
Because it mirrored so many of the scenes, it was reminding them of what they had just seen with Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
And so it ended up being inadvertently funny, and then it just completely failed.
Yeah.
Where if you can watch it, completely devoid of having just seen Dr. Strangelove, it's a really good movie, and the resolution in that film,
boy,
yeah,
yeah,
That's a
I am not familiar.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah, I don't want to say anything else, yeah. But it's like that movie.
Yeah,
like it, you know. And the premise is essentially there's the U.S. accidentally is about to launch a nuclear atomic strike on the Soviet Union, and they have all these fail safes.
That is like they have all, just so parallel. Oh, no.
They have all these fail safes in place so they can stop it, so they can prevent these accidents, and they just start systematically breaking down. And what are they going to do? And the tension is just through the roof. But I also get if you had just seen Strangelove, you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
So, yeah. It's not as funny as that one.
It's a new genre.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So that's it for this week. I guess we will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Orlandez on Twitter at RetroVinylKid.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, and there was certainly plenty to talk about with this one.
I want to hear what everybody has to say.
Yeah, you can find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or at our website, although it's hard to talk to us at our website, at RealSpoilers.com or DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Well, you can't forget that one.
Either one gets you there. So, also don't forget we're available on iTunes, so you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So, I guess next week the movie of the week will be Logan,
Wolverine 3.
Whatever number they're on, you're gonna ignore the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna call this one Wolverine 2.
Yes. Because X-Men Origins, they wrote that out of a...
We don't even count it.
Yeah. No, Days of Future Past took it out of the thing.
That's right. They wiped it.
Yeah, they wiped
it
out.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So anyway, that will be our movie of the week next week. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Matt gives John and Joanna his blessing.
Girl, you hit me harder than a freight train. Right in the middle of my membrane. Driving backwards in a fast lane. Headlights off after midnight. Saw you shining in a starlight. Girl, you got me like a bug bite. And now you're under my skin. And I know, you know, I don't know which way to go to lose you or to get away from you. Girl, lately I've been going crazy, cause I want you, baby. But you don't, so get out, get out, get out, get out. Cause I'm breaking and my soul is shaking, like my world is quaking. If I can't have you, get out, get out, get out, get out of my heart, of my heart, of my heart.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Just get out, get out, get out, get out. Jamie, like boy.